20th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'm pretty sure that I won't get to say too much to you this morning because of the way that things has gone, but anyway, I want to read this a little bit if I can. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Now, I want to talk with you just a few minutes this morning. I don't know just exactly what I'll say or where I'll go because I don't feel the anointing out there among you like it ought to be, but I feel it in my heart and life. And I know that I have anointed people out there among you, but you're just not rallying to the Spirit of God. And so I'll just have to say whatever I can. Because I feel like he wants me to say it this morning. All right, now, one thing that I would like to dwell on this morning, a thought here, if I can, and that is in the last part of the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, for many be called, but few be chosen. Many be called, but few be chosen. A lot of people are called into the vineyard of God. How do you agree to that? There's a lot of people that's called into the vineyard of God. Now you can go along with me and say amen or not. I'm going to preach anyway, so it don't make any difference. You can go along with me and say amen and encourage the Spirit of God and go away saying it's good to have been here and have a reward of God, or you can just freeze up on me. Not go along with me, and then when you leave, have a sorrowful heart and have it marked against you in heaven, because when I get through, I'm going to deliver my soul anyway. I said, it ain't going to bother me anyway. That's just up to you. That's whatever you do. But remember, while I'm up here, I'm binding your sins to you or I'm turning them loose. That's what I'm up here for, and that's what I'm going to do. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So as on heaven, so on earth. So that's what I'm up here for, and I'm going to do it according to your faith and obedience to Christ. And your obedience is going to prove what your faith is. If you're not surrendered and obedient, then that means you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, you're not justified. Your sins will be bound to you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I asked the Lord one time, I said, God, what does this mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. I said, I don't understand, Lord, what it means. What have you said? Many are called, but few are chosen. And the Lord answered me back and said, Son, the call is to let whosoever will. Every individual throughout the world is called. Everyone, God has given them a call. The words of the ministry has gone throughout the earth. And God has given them a call. And every one of them has received a call. But only those that have obeyed the call and surrendered to the ministry and surrendered to the word of God, only those are the chosen of God. There is no more chosen of God except those that have surrendered to the word of God. These are the chosen. God said, because thou hast not obeyed my word and rejected my word, then I have rejected thee. When God sends his call, when God sends his word, a call is a word. When a word comes forth of the preacher, that is a call. God is sending a call. God is sending a word. And when God sends that call, that is God's voice. He said it is not the minister that speaks, but it is God speaking. speaking from within the ministry. When I get up here to preach to you, it is not me talking to you, but it is God speaking to you. Now somebody would say, but Brother Pike, how do I know that it's God? It might be you, Brother Pike, but it cannot be me, because I am dead and buried. God buried me, put me away. And today it's not me that's living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. The things I do for the Son of God. So it is not me living, but it's Christ. And when I speak to you, it is God speaking to you. I come to this building because it is God that sends me here. I have an unction from the Holy One. I come here because God has told me to come and tell you the words of life. And these are the words of life. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I don't know that those are words of life. What do you mean they're words of life? Because Jesus spoke like this. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that has sent me hath passed from death unto life. These are the words of life. These words. Somebody would say, what do you mean words of life? It means that when these words are spoken, if you believe these words, you will act upon these words. If you act upon these words become incorporated in your life. And you become one with these words. And these words become one with you. And then when you become one with this word, then it is words of life unto you. And you become a living being. You become a living, talking, walking, seeing being. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm already a walking, talking, seeing being. If you are in sin, the Bible tells me that you are dead while you live. You are not alive, you are not walking, you are not seeing. You are bound in your sins. There is nothing worse than a prison of sin. No person is worse than a prisoner of the prison of sin. And so then you are not alive until you are born again. You are dead and appointed unto death by the proclamation of God through the seed Adam until the day that you are born again. Adam, as I said so many times, wasn't the beginning of the creation of God. When you believe that Adam was the beginning of the creation of God, you make a great mistake. Adam was not the beginning of the creation of God, but Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus is the one that came forth from the dead and is alive forevermore, and he is the first brother among many brethren, and all of Adam's descendants from Adam on down go into the dust and they are turned into a lake of fire. All of Adam's descendants, everyone that's born of Adam, is turned into the fire, including Adam himself, except in the new birth. Only those that come into the new birth is considered the creation of God. Somebody would say, but Adam was God's first creation. The Bible teaches that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, and that Adam was taken from the dust. He said, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. So then Jesus was not taken from the dust. Show me where Jesus was taken from the dust. He was not born of the man that was taken from the dust. He did not come by the will of man. He was born by the seed of God, the first fruits of them that slept. I am born today of the seed of the living God. I am of the seed today. I am of this birth today. I am of this nature today. I am not born to the dust. The man that came forth from the mother's womb is born of the dust. But I am not born of a dustly man. I do not have a life from a dusty man. I came from God. I am born of God. Hallelujah. I am born of the seed of Christ. I am made alive forevermore. And I cannot die because I am born of him. My Bible tells me that I have passed from the dust man unto the spirit man. I have passed from death unto life. I passed through the shadows of the regions of the damned. I've made the trip and I've come out on the other side. I saw a vision where it showed that I was at a place to where they was having a funeral and death set in. But I stepped out the door and I started on a pilgrimage, and I started down a long trail. And down this trail I looked, and the trees were matted together over me, and the sun was shining through. I'd see a light and then a shadow and then a light and then a shadow as I walked, and I continued to walk and walk and walk. And way after a long, long period of time, I came out on the other end, and there I entered into my own house. I said, Lord, what is this? And God said, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with thee, and you have no need to fear evil, for I am with thee, and I will keep thee. Wherever you put your feet, I will give it to you, and I will keep you in all of your ways. So then, I am alive forevermore. I was dead, but I am resurrected from the dead, and I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And death hath no power over me. Hallelujah. And through him I have the keys to death and to hell and to the grave. Hallelujah. Because of him I live. Amen. So today I am thankful to be alive in Christ Jesus. Today I am thankful to feel that I am a part of what he is doing. Christ within me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. The one that's resurrected from the dead. The one that has the keys to hell. The one that stands the victorian over Calvary. Brothers and sisters, Satan is finished. Satan is defeated. We look and long for the day when we say we know that the devil will be finished, that we'll be free from heartaches and free from sorrows and free from troubles. But I'm here today to tell you that Satan is finished, that Satan has been destroyed, and that Christ has conquered him, and he's been cast out of the regions of God, and he is in the regions of the damned. God is cast him out. And today we are free from sickness. We are free from heartaches. We are free from troubles. We are free from poverty. We don't have to worry. Hallelujah. The reason is because Christ conquered him at Calvary. One thing we need to understand, that when Jesus hung at Calvary and Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant just exactly what he said. He didn't mean that it was finished until Brother Branham come and Brother Branham would add something. He didn't mean it was finished until Brother Pike come and Brother Pike will add something. He meant that it was finished once and for all. It was finished, Christ said. There can be nothing added. It is finished. All Brother Pike can do is interpret what God told him. What God put at Calvary. He did it. He did it all by himself. He never had any help from me, nor from Brother Paul, nor from Elijah. He never had any help from Abraham. He never had any help from A.A. Allen or Robert. He did it by himself. He is the preeminent of all preeminence, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He doesn't need anybody. But we need him. Hallelujah. Now, how are you willing to listen just for a minute? If we could understand, if we could be spiritual, I long so to come here in the church and be spiritual with you and get into the spiritual things of God and talk to you about the spiritual things of God. But I have a difficult time doing it. Paul said, "I would that you were spiritual." Why would God want us to be spiritual? Because God is a spirit. God is not a man. God is not flesh and blood. God is a spirit. And to learn about God, we've got to get into the spirit. The Bible said John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Just because you've got on a nice dress this morning, a nice suit, or you combed your hair just right this morning, because you feel like you look all right, that doesn't mean anything to God. Because you feel like you're doing a little better in life, a little more successful with money, or your understanding or education or got a little more security. That doesn't mean anything to God. What God wants you to do is to be spiritual, folks. God needs somebody spiritual. He isn't interested in my great ministry or your great ministry. God wants somebody that's spiritual. There's no record where Elijah ever done great things in the way of the world. There is no such thing. He was just a man that was spiritual. A man that maybe had a beard. A man that was off somewhere in a cave. A man that didn't have fine clothes to wear. He didn't have nice automobiles. He didn't have a college education. But he was spiritual. He could get in touch with God. And the power of his understanding and faith was worth more than all the powers of Jezebel put together. He wasn't looking for security. He wasn't trying to build up a prestige. He was trying to be spiritual because God is a spirit. God is a spirit. When we come to church, what does God want at Little Bethlehem? Does God want the fine buildings? No. Does God want the buildings out here for the school? No. God wants you to be spiritual. Then why do we have the fine buildings? Because they are necessitated through life. It is God's design for these buildings to be here that you might gather into them. And the man that doesn't take part in helping to build God's house is a foolish man. Whether it be natural or spiritual. The only way that you can prove your spirituality to God is to give a dollar in the offering. To pray a prayer. To fast a little bit. To drive a nail. To dig a ditch. All of your faith. All of your spirituality. It's proven by your works. That's why God favored Noah in the days of Noah. Because God said, Noah, I want you to build a means of escape for my people. And Noah was spiritual. And Noah heard the voice of God. And Noah got the saw and he got the hammer and he got his brethren together. And he began to do something for God. Because he believed what Christ has said. Only what you do proves that what you believe. Folks, don't be angry with me. But when you sit around and you talk about Brother Pike's tapes and you talk about Brother Branham's tapes and you talk about the message and you talk with people, you're wasting your time. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me if I sit and listen to all your tapes and I'm wasting my time? If I sit and listen to Brother Branham's tape, A.A. Allen's tapes, Jack Cole's tape, I'm wasting my time? You are wasting your time. You need to be doing something for God. Amen. Amen. And when a man stays out of church to listen to tapes, that man hasn't never even met God. A man that will stay away from the house of God to listen to tapes, he doesn't have anything to begin with. Ain't no need of disputing with him because you never met God to start with. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, wasting my time? If you want to listen to a tape, that's good. If I want to listen to a tape, that's good. But brother, when you stay home to listen to a tape, when you can win souls and do something for God, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. When you stay home to stay out of the house of God and listen to tape, something's wrong with you. Amen. You need to be in the house of God. It doesn't matter whether Brother Branham's not preaching or Brother Pike's not preaching. It doesn't matter if it's a little boy across the tracks that don't know his ABCs. When he gets up there, that's God speaking. And you need to be there and hear what God has to say. Somebody said, that's God speaking on the tapes too. That was God speaking yesterday. Come on, folks. Huh? You don't like that, do you? That was God speaking yesterday. I'm talking about God speaking today. This is God speaking today. You need to hear God's voice for today. I appreciate everything that God ever gave me in the past. I appreciate it. Everything that's on them tapes, I appreciate it. Then what good is tapes, Brother Pike, if that be the case? Why do you make them? Because there's some people that ain't never heard what God said yesterday. I need to get them tapes out to the people that ain't never heard what God said yesterday. Them tapes of Brother Branham's need to go out to people that ain't never heard what God said yesterday. But folks, what God's saying today, we need that plus what God said yesterday. And as Brother Branham said, if there's a tomorrow, there'll be a message for tomorrow. And we need what God said tomorrow to go with what God said today. Hallelujah. That's why that I believe that we should be a lively stone. We shouldn't be dead and froze up in reasoning, where every time we come to church, somebody has to shake us up and pump us up and prime us like an old worn out pump. But we need to be alive. We're lively stones. When we come into the presence of God, we need to do everything we can. I don't go by my feelings. If I went by my feelings, I'd never do anything. I go by the leading of God. I have to do something. The devil fights you when you are a preacher. If the devil didn't fight me with horses, if the devil didn't fight me with every other problem, I wouldn't be a man of God. The fact that he fights me proves that I'm a man of God. He wouldn't fight me if I was on his side. Because Jesus said he'd have a divided kingdom and it would fall. That ought to let you know yourselves. That ought to be enough proof to let you know that I'm a man of God and that God has sent me because of the opposition I met. The people have fought against me. That ought to make you know that God's trying to do something. The world loves its own. The world doesn't vilify and come against its own. The world loves its own. But they come against us, Jim, because we stand for something. So then, folks, this is a great hour. This is a great thing. And the things that I've stressed, a lot of you don't believe. And you say, well, I see right through it. You haven't seen right through it. You've never even seen it to see right through it. There are some of you there that has never even seen it. How could you see through it when you've never seen it? I have people, you know, they come around after they hear something and they say, why, there wasn't nothing there. I seen right through it. I don't see why all these folks get so excited. Well, you know you're lying. You never have even seen it, let alone seen through it. The Bible said the wicked shall not even see when good cometh. You never did see it to start with. That's why you're of the opinion you are. No man can see God and live. No man can see God and live. You've got to die on the altars of sacrifice and swearing to your own hurt to live in the presence of God. So then, something is taking place in little Bethlehem. Something is taking place in our hearts. There's people in the different parts of the world that's beginning to get a light. They're beginning to be moved. They're beginning to see something, folks. I want to do something that when those people come here, or when their hearts is turned here, that they will have something to come to. I never will forget when I went to Tucson, Arizona, the man that Brother Branham raised from the dead, Brother Edmund Way and his wife invited Betty and I over to eat with him and told us that, Brother Pike, it's unbelievable how that the Brother William Branham followers scorn the people, will not help the people, and will not stand with the people to divide with them and to help them. Said Brother Branham raised me from the dead and said, me and my wife have opened our homes to them, and we find somebody that's struggling and the rest of them scorn and won't share with them. Said we bring them in here and do something for them. Folks, that's the way it's supposed to be at little Bethlehem. We're supposed to share. You say, well, I can't take everybody into my home. I know you can't, but you can get up and not be lazy. And get out here with a hammer and a saw and build a place for them to stay. Somebody said, but I'm too spiritual. God called you to do the works, and he called me to do the believing. Yeah, a writer said something about that one time. Said, you say that you got the faith and I got the works. He said, I want you to know one thing. Your faith is dead and ain't no good. Amen. Let me tell you something. When that prophet in the Old Testament needed a place to stay, a little widow gave him some food. Is that right? He had to have something to eat. He was natural. He had to have something to eat. She gave him some food. Why didn't God just say, Elijah, that poor little widow ain't even got enough to feed her own self. Don't you go over there messing with what she's got. You just go over there and bless her and fill the barrel up that the crews of oil won't never give out. God don't work like that, does he? You know why? Because he can't work like that. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God couldn't have just went over there and filled the barrel up without taking what she had? No. There is governing God principles that God cannot violate. You can't understand them maybe, but I could explain them to you if we had time. God can't. Why doesn't God heal a blind eye a lot of times? He can't heal it. Why doesn't God raise up a dead man a lot of times? He can't do it. Somebody said, oh, but he can. The Bible said many mighty miracles he could not do. He can't do it. God can't lie. There's some things that God can't do. God couldn't do that for that little widow until he stirred her faith. When he told that prophet, he said, you tell her the word of God. And he said, thus saith the word of God. Then the little widow said, I believe. Here's all I got. She acted on her faith. Elijah said, that's all I wanted. Your faith is in action. That barrel won't never give out. I'll give you a blessing that won't never give out anymore. Hallelujah. God was trying to stir faith. If God can find faith, God will do things. A lot of people say, well, God just wants to heal some people and some people, it ain't God's will to heal. That's not true. God would love to open every blind eye, unstop every deaf ear, make every lame to walk, resurrect every dead person, move every poverty that people know anything about. God would like to do it. But you know where the trouble is? God don't have the channels in the earth to work to. You and I are too spiritually lazy to get out of business with God. We are too self-centered to open our lives and hearts to God to let him do what he wants to do. Somebody said, well, I know somebody that's got a gift. Yeah, and to use it just like Balaam did for everything they can get out of it. Like a man that come through not too long ago. He's got a gift. He calls people out, tells them all kind of things. As far as you know, he's a great man of God in the Word of God. But he comes to me and said, I don't know nothing hardly about that Bible. Said, I can't even hardly read it. Don't know nothing about it. Amen. Said, but I know that you got the Word of God, Brother Pike, and I want it. But to you, there's a gift. You know, it's just like giving a little boy a shotgun and he ain't about 10 years old. It's the same difference. Somebody would say, but what about them gifts? They're born with them gifts in their lives. They didn't do nothing to get them gifts. They're born with them. Balaam was born with a gift. William Branham never fasted a day to get no gift. William Branham was born with a gift. Moses was born the proper child. Paul said, before I ever came forth from my mother's womb, God called me to reveal Christ in my life. Those are gifts that's given to people by foreordination. If they come into this world, they can take them gifts and do like a fortune teller, like Jeannie Dixon and some of the others, and use them for money and whatever they want to. Read in the paper. There's people that's got gifts that far excels the gifts of some of these men you see coming to church. Like a case I heard of the other day on the Mississippi River. A woman gave her prediction. She said there's a certain barge that's going down the Mississippi. Said that certain barge is a certain thing. And said at a certain time of the day, on a certain day of the week, at a certain month and a certain year, said it will crash into a ship. And told the people it would be hurt and killed. Now folks, that's as plain as it could be, isn't it? That's laid it down line for line, every step right down the line. But it didn't say nothing about it being a Christian or loving God. Not a thing. Not a thing. Having a gift, that's not enough. What we need is the love of God in our heart. You may have faith to move a mountain, but without the love of God, you're just like Balaam was. You've got to have the understanding of Christ. And if you got the understanding of Christ, then the gifts are in the church and God will use the gifts. They're in the church. There's people in this very audience right now that's got gifts in their lives. Right here. But those gifts will never do God any good until you get spiritual and learn to love Christ and live a holy life. You're better off if you didn't have it. You got to live right. People are looking for a light, not a gift. They see that on television. They can sit down on television and see people operate gifts. I believe it was the PTL program the other day. Somebody said that there's a woman on there calling people out, telling them their names, telling them their afflictions, all about themselves. Sit there on television and see it. But folks, that ain't the answer. God didn't say that you was going to be translated by any gift. God said by the hearing of the word you pass from death unto life, if you can believe it. This thing is a finished product. It's finished. Jesus said it's finished. And what you don't understand is that it really is finished. It's finished. I preached that message up at Utica Pike. It was finished. I said this has to do with the finishing of it. When it changed over from the Brother Branham cycle to the new cycle that was coming in. And this morning, though I long so much to share with you what I see in the Spirit and what I understand in the Spirit, I don't know how to do it. You're not spiritual. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spirituals. Once in a great while, I get an audience that will be spiritual to where I can share with them. I can preach to you, yes, because all I have to do is holler at you. If I holler at you and you pay attention, then the Spirit of God's going to anoint me. But to stand here and try to tell you the things of God, it is an impossibility unless you're spiritual. One thing that we need to know, folks, and that is that gifts, and that is that preaching is not for the church. That is for those people that are out yonder. A wicked, adulterous generation is looking for a sign. They're looking for a sign. That means that they won't believe unless they see a sign. That preaching, that kind of thing out there. But that is not the inheritance of the saints. The revelation of Christ that God gave Paul and God gave John after that Peter and him worked all kinds of miracles. That revelation was the inheritance of the saints. It was the red will of the Heavenly Father to make them to know who they are and what they are and what God has put in His foreknowledge for them. You cannot believe something you don't know. There is no way. You can't believe it. A lot of you feel like, well, Brother Pike, you just wait. When you get there, I'll be there. Well, I hope you are. I hope you are. I've got no objection to it. If you can make it, that's good. But I want to tell you something. You could climb up another way, and getting there won't do you any good. There's people that's got gifts that climbed up another way. They're there. But they got there to their own sorrow. They'd been better off if they never got there because they don't have the wedding garment of Christ. The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You may get there. But you'll wish you hadn't have got there. But folks, I know where the door is. I know the way in that's the right way. And I can take you in the right way if you follow me as I follow Christ. But if you follow your own way, then I can't take you anywhere. You're going to have to follow me as dear children in God, Paul said. If you follow me, I can lead you. But if you don't follow me, I can't take you anywhere. If you don't have any confidence in me, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help you. But I'll tell you something. I've got something for you, folks. I've got something that I've heard from heaven. I've got something, and that thing is eternal life. And I understand it. And God has given it to me. I've got it. And I'd like to share it with you. It's like Bill and I was talking the other day. Some things is taking place. We were up in the pyramid, and I was talking to Bill about some things, and Bill began to cry. Tears filled his eyes. He just began to cry. And Brother Gary got excited enough that he was just shouting all over. Because God was speaking. God was doing something. Something was taking place. And as I walked home, Bill walked over to the door with me. And we was talking. I made a statement, and Bill caught it just like that. And Bill said, you know what? Said, Brother Pike, he said, this has to do with that eagle that you saw. That eagle, when I had the vision, where I was in Florida, and I had the vision. look like when God wants to deal with me in a special way, he'll take me to Florida. He used to take Brother Branham into the mountains, but it looks like he takes me to Florida. And sometimes I get back in the Everglades or wherever, like I was this time, way back in the Everglades, down around the Keys. God spoke to me and I had the vision. And you remember the vision. And Bill brought it back to my mind after I said what I did at the pyramid. He brought it back to my mind. He said, Brother Pike, he said, the eagle. How do you remember the vision where I had the vision of the eagle? And I said that I was in my own little hometown where I was raised up as a boy, living just across the street, a boy by the name of Stuart. How do you remember that? Remember the vision? And that place was called Ensign. You know where I had the vision of the Ensign being lifted up? And Brother Ernie came there not knowing me. And God led him off of the pavement, come over and prophesied under the tent. Had a great significance. I'd seen a vision and predicted that the tent would be sitting there. This great eagle that I saw, I was in this house on this side where a brother by the name of Brother Quick, and I brought out something on it, how it had to do with the change. On this side, across from me, was a boy by the name of Stuart. And in this vision, I walked across the street. I got Otis' house, and there sat a young lady at a desk. And I walked up to this young lady, and I looked, and over to one side of her, she had a long line of feathers lined up, so beautifully lined up. And she was in charge of them. And they were lined up way back like that. And I looked at them and I said, sister, I want those feathers. And she was hesitant to give them to me. And she said to me, said, Brother Pike, she said, I will give them to you. But said, the brethren isn't going to like this. And when I checked up to see who it was Brother Branham's followers that had cataloged those quills. They were quills. They were feathers. Cataloged one right after another. I couldn't understand what the feathers was. And I said, God, what are the feathers? He said, quills, which indicate writings. And they were lined up one after another. And I said, sister, give them to me. She said, but the brethren won't like it. I said, I know that, but I know how to put those things together. And she gave them to me. And I crossed the street and I put them together. And it formed a great eagle when I got them together. It was God's eagle message Brother Branham brought. It can be put together. I put it together. And brother, from that time, the brethren ain't like it. That's right. They've said things against me and they fought against me. Ever since it's been going together, Jim, they've fought against it. But nevertheless, God put it together just like he said it would put it together. I said, Lord, why was it over at this man's house named Stuart? He said, because it indicates the Stuart of the mistress of God. I said, why was it feathers? He said, because it is quills. It's cataloged in a perfect cataloging state of the quotes that Brother Branham brought. It is precisely stepped out in quotes. But he said, they have not put it together to bring the rapture of the church. But said, I'll give it to you and you can put it together. And I did in the vision. That means that this thing is going to rapture the church. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm intelligent, but because Jesus Christ said it would do it. I am not basing my statements on some wild illusions, something that I think, something that I've tried to figure out, something that I've tried to convince myself of. The strange part was when I went into this vision, I was sitting there in the Everglades of Florida. Nobody was there. Not even my wife. They'd gone off somewhere. I was right by myself. Nobody was there. A little old ramshackle piece of a church. A little dilapidated building. And I was in the back room of it. And I was looking up to God. And I said, God, I said, listen at me, Lord. I was fasting and praying. I said, I want you to hear me, Lord. I said, I know that I found the thing that will rapture the church. I said, God, I've discovered it. I said, I know that I've discovered it. And I looked out, And something happened out in the elements, like two great big pillars that was very colorful, that was out there. And all of a sudden, I went into a vision. And when I went into the vision, that's when I saw the eagle, and God gave me a confirmation of what I had just stated, of what I just believed, and showed me that it was the truth, that what I believed was not error, it was not fallacy, it was the truth. And I saw it, and the strange part was, God willing to confirm it even the more, in the vision I saw the same colorful pillars that I looked out and saw in the element. Something is taking place. When Jesus said it is finished, it is finished. When he said it was finished at Calvary Gym, it was finished. Brother Branham is not going to resurrect from the dead until the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's not going to do it. They are looking for something that will never happen. I told them that years ago. It still stands. It cannot happen because it would break the scriptures, and the scriptures cannot be broken. So then, it is a true fact that God is rapturing the church. This thing is the same eagle message that Brother Branham had that is put together that is rapturing the church. It isn't that it's going to rapture the church. It's already rapturing the church. And Brother Branham told his own followers, beware, he said, for it will move through you and you will never see it. He knew the rapture was setting in. He knew it was setting in to take the saints then. Said, check yourself for it. And here we are years, this side of it. Did the man lie? Did the man lie? Is his people checking themselves every hour for the rapture? Brother, I'll tell you what. I don't mean this wrong. But the best of my ability, I'm checking myself every second for the rapture. Ever since I've been born again. And know anything about God, I've been checking my thoughts, my intents, and my heart every second of the day, every minute of the day, every time I wake up in the night, I check every thought to see if I'm ready for the rapture. Somebody said, well, that ain't necessary, but it is. The kind of rapture I'm talking about, it is. Because what the rapture is, it's a translation of your thoughts and the intents of your heart. That is the rapture. Like Brother Hollis said the other day, Brother Hollis was kind of shook up over the thing. He said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, said, these people got this thing wrong. Now, he's been a preacher for a long time. Heard a lot of good preachers. He said, they got this thing wrong. He said, they're looking for a geographical perspective of things. And he said, it's not going to be a geographical perspective thing. He said, this is the kingdom of God within you that's springing out into everlasting life and translating people into the kingdom of God. The same thing that Jesus said back there. But some of you are more interested in dresses and coats and money, houses and fame and popularity and a little nest egg and security to feed your belly with than you are in surrendering and doing something for God. Yesterday, a man over 60 years old, I believe I got that right, came to my door, gave an offering, handed the sister Betty, and I come in and look. And she was crying. And I said, Betty, I didn't know just exactly what was wrong. And she said, look at this. And she held out an envelope. And the envelope had a big water money in it like that. And Betty was just crying. She's just a bawling. And she said, George said, Brother James Torrance came and gave this $500 to the work of God. Some of you young folks, young men, won't do nothing to help. And that man over 60 years old, going, working hard. I know for a fact that he worked hard to save that money. Worked in the mill to save that money. And come and give it to the work of God. And some of you fellas are doing nothing. You think that, let me tell you something. That's getting his eyes in the right direction. Is that right? He's not got his houses, his mind on houses and land and money and those kind of things. He's not got it on there. He's trusting God to take care of him. But you're not trusting God. You're trusting your own ability. You're trusting your own mind. You're trusting your own way of life. But he's trusting God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to say this in close. There's so many things that I want to say. I hadn't even got into the revelation yet. Maybe I will. Not this morning, I know. But listen. We're down at the end of the trail, folks. The days of the Gentiles are over and finished. I can prove that by the revelation of Christ. It's over and finished. Are you swearing to your own hurt? Are you swearing to your own hurt? Are you really swearing to your own hurt? You don't even believe what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said it would be over by this year. You don't believe it because you're not acting like it. And you say you believe in him. You don't even believe in him. But the Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life shall lose his life. He that seeks to lay up a little money to get him a little nest egg, to get him a little house, to get him an automobile, to get him the refiners of life so that he can have nice clothes and nice houses and nice things in this world, he is saving his life. The person that denies themselves to that, to give to the widows and the orphans, to support the gospel and to carry on the work of God, to make a refuge for those that are lost and undone without God, these people are losing their lives. They're giving up their natural welfare. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't have anything. I'm not talking about being lazy. There's people who ain't got nothing because they don't labor to have to give. You're supposed to labor to have to give. I'm talking about people at work. You're taking and doing away with your substance. You're not giving it to God. Some of you are not in bad circumstance. You could give. A man like that, it tore my wife up. She just cried as she stood there and bawled and saw that man that just, like the other night in men's meeting, Brother Marlowe sat there in the men's meeting, a man that don't have any income, no way to make a living, sitting down here in a little old bitty trailer, has been in for a number of years, sat there and said, I want to give $50 in the offering. It just tore me up. Men sitting there, young men that won't do nothing, wives that puts the clamp on them if they ever turn toward God to do anything, wives that's greedy women that won't let their husbands come to church, and as a consequence of that, some of you ain't got any husband because you took them away from the house of God. Come on, folks. You took them away from the preacher, some of your children away from the preacher. Turned them towards you and away from the preacher. Today you ain't got your children. God took them away from you. Come on, folks. See, greedy women. The Bible said greedy dogs that don't never get enough. God give you a job, you never share anything with God. You sit at home and feed your bellies until you rot with cancer and everything else. Stay home. Don't share. Not going to come into cold. The Bible said there's women that feel they're too delicate to set the sole of their feet upon the ground. Mumble and grumble and fuss and find fault. Don't want their husbands, wives that don't want their husband to ever come and take a little time away from them. Someday God will take that husband away from you and he'll give him to somebody else. You mark my words. Someday those children that you won't make do right, reverence the house of God or teach them the right thing, someday they'll spit in your face and despise you. So then, folks, it's a sad time. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you seek to lose your life for Christ's sake and say, God, let me dig a little, let me give a little, let me do without a little, let me share a little, then you can save your life. But you're shortening your days by your disobedience. Some of you are not going to live your life half out. The Bible said the wicked won't live their days half out anyway. But if you would see good life, long years, then obey what I tell you to do. I would that you obey my prophets, he said, that it might be well with you. For if you obey my prophets, he said, you'll prosper. You'll be blessed. All right, I want you to stand with me. I love you. There's nothing wrong with you having fine clothes. The Bible said that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of the lilies. God clothed him with the most gorgeous garments as a king because he pleased God. He spent his life building God's house, and then God built him a house even bigger than his. Made him a great leader. But folks, every man run to his own house. Let the house of God lay waste. Not even concerned as much as to even have heat for the little babies to where the mothers and daddies can be comfortable in it. And when you say something about it, they've got their plans, they've got their programs, they've got their ideas. And if you say something, say, look, won't you share just a little bit? Well, I would, but you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and all these others, that's the reason I don't share. It's because of brother so-and-so. If it wasn't for brother so-and-so, you are lying. Brother so-and-so ain't got nothing to do with you. Just a greedy dog, as the Bible said. And like a Gentile, that's what he calls a Gentile, a greedy dog, and you can't get enough. The Bible said all the nations of the world of the Gentiles seek after them things. You can't get enough. You're looking for some false prestige out there with somebody in the world. That's what you're doing. Looking for some kind of false security out there in the world. And you never get enough. You never have enough to share with God. Never. If God gives you $50, you don't have enough. If God gives you $100, you don't have enough. If God gives you $1,000, you done made some more plans, you still ain't got enough. And if God gives you $10,000, you still ain't got enough. You always got more plans. Something that you had to buy, something you had to get, something you had to do. But folks, let me tell you, every dollar, every dime, everything I can get my hands on, I want to put it in a building. I want to put it to an orphan. I want to put it in evangelism. I want to put it in something for Christ. Hallelujah. It thrills my soul to know that I had a little part in this. I haven't done what the brethren's done. They're far greater than I am. They've labored and given and sacrificed, and I know that I've not done what they've done. But I'm glad I got a little part in this building that people can come here and sit and listen to the Word of God, and that in Monroe there is a little shelter, a refuge from the storm, to where somebody can point somebody and say, go to little Bethlehem, they'll tell you about Jesus. I'm glad that we got a building down here to where your little children and my little children can escape the cesspools of iniquity called schools out there and come over here to this little schoolhouse down here. I'm glad somebody was willing to sit out there in the lightning, and I've seen them do it and wade in the mud and take a chance of losing their lives. I'm glad that some of these little children was willing to climb up and down ladders that wasn't even hardly big enough to get on a ladder to have a little school so that they could go to it. Little folks, you hold on to it. It belongs to you. You worked for it. You gave your strength to it. I've got little people. Brother Taylor knows this is a fact. When I couldn't get the big ones out here, they couldn't carry a bucket of cement, and they'd get about that much, and two of them would get it and carry it and bring it up the ladder, and we'd pour it into the walls when I couldn't get no men out here to help me. And folks, times ain't changed. You still doing the same evil things. You still won't come and help me. But you know what's going to happen? The pie's just about ready and the cake's just about ready. You're going to come a-running. And you're going to say, Brother Pike, I'll tell you what. I thought this thing over. There ain't no need of you thinking it over. You done waited too late to think it over. God made it for his chicks and they're the ones that's going to get it. You might run all you want to, but you waited too late. You had a chance to do it and you wouldn't do it. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. You say, Brother Pike, what about the others that's coming in? Those others that's coming in, that's a different situation. Those wasn't here to start with. They didn't know anything about it. It was just a rumor to them. God doesn't require their labor somewhere else. If they're true children of God, they've not been sitting at home. They've been laboring with somebody somewhere. And they got a reward, just like these that labored with me at Little Bethlehem's got a reward. Somewhere or another, there's a reward for them. So it doesn't apply to them. It applies to them that's been around here that knows, that could have been with us, that could have helped us. It applies to you, my brother and sister. You're glad to be here. I'm honest from my heart. I wouldn't lie to you. I believe this. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. All of us have a call, but the chosen are those that will surrender and conform to the way and the things of God. The Bible said make your calling and election sure. If you got a calling, that's good. But confirm your calling. Just like if you're going to take a flight, you might have already, you know, got everything set up for your flight. But they ask you just before the ship takes off, they say call in and get a confirmation on it to confirm your flight. See, get a confirmation on it from God. Make sure, because somebody else might have got your crown. You don't know. See, check it out. Make your calling and election sure. Check it out real good and make your calling and election sure. See, check up. And he said, if you can do these things, if you've got love, peace, joy, meekness, long-suffering, perseverance, forbearance, godliness, patience, kindness, brotherly love, willing to lift the load off your brother. That's brotherly love. Sharing what he's doing, not letting him be burdened and you be at ease. So he said, if you got these things, he said, you got the nature of Christ, you got it. You've already confirmed your flight. Everything's all right. But if you haven't got it, then you missed the ship. You missed the ship. Think about a brother that's here. Yesterday they picked up one of our brothers and put him in jail. He hadn't done nothing to nobody. Just had told me he wanted to work for God, straighten his life out and do something for God. The very minute he decided to do it, the devil pounced on him. But see, from little Bethlehem, we sent and got him out. What if it had been no little Bethlehem? Hundreds of thousands of boys and girls are in prison, and there wasn't no little Bethlehem to fight for them and to plead their cause. They're still in prison. Some of them will rot in prison. And some of them are innocent. But see, there's a little Bethlehem, and we went to bat so many multiplied times for your children and my children and other children to get them out of the snare and the web of Satan, to give them a chance. Don't you want to have a part in the soul of mankind and in the kingdom of God? Boys and girls alike, young ones and old ones alike, you're not too old to work for God. Don't let somebody tell you because you got a gray hair or two that you're too old to work for God. Caleb won a war at about 70 or 80 years old. You're not too old to work for God. You're no older than you think you are if you'll have faith in God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he can think young in his heart, he's young. I don't mean filthy and lustful, but I mean sober and sound in faith for the benefit of God. If you're laboring, that's good. Be a laborer. But labor that you might have to give. Folks, don't go on a job and work so you can feed your family, so that you can pay your rent, so you can pay your house bill, or house rent and those kind of things, the bills. Don't do that. If you do that, God won't never bless what you're doing. You'll never get ahead. You say, but Brother Pike, there's people out there that don't serve God. They are ahead. I admit they are ahead. They've gotten it deceitfully and wickedly, and the Bible said they shall be cut off in the midst of their days, and in the end they shall be a fool. But the Bible said, God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, and makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Clothes you with the glory of God. You don't lose anything. You follow me? You see what I'm saying? God does that for them that love him. But when you labor, labor with one thought in mind, that you might have something to give to God and to the needy. If you're doing that, brother, God will bless you and magnify you and lift you up and put you into the high places of the earth. It is a fact. And the day that you stop laboring to give, start laboring to have, down you will go. My cup runs over. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why? Why? Because it is my desire to labor to give. If I labor on a building, I labor that we might give it to the body of Jesus Christ. If I get up in the night to pray, I am not interested in fame and popularity. When I pray, I say, Lord, I'm not interested in fame and popularity. I'm not interested in money and prestige. I could have had that before I ever come into the church. God had done opened it up to me in the musical world and all around. But I said, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to pull somebody out of the fire. I want to do something, God, for Christ. I want to help somebody. I want to do something that when I stand before you, that when I look at you and you look at me, that you'll look down and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care about prestige. What good is prestige when you lay down in the cold ground? What good is it because somebody say, well, I really think a lot of that fella. He really paid his bills good, and I got everything I could take him for. That ain't no good. But if you give to God, if you help the needy, if you help the poor, you'll be able to pay your bills and have a good name. That's more to be chosen than great riches. And people will speak well of you after you're gone and say, you know, that old boy, he never did have a whole lot. as far as it on, but it looks like he done a whole lot for helping folks. And you can be sure you won't go lacking for nothing. This is a short pilgrimage. Ain't too many days to spend here. And I want to do what I can, folks. Somebody said, well, I got a call in the ministry. I got to get out yonder. Well, for 7 years I've been here and you've had a call in the ministry and you had to get out there. And for 7 years you bypassed helping me waiting on your call in the ministry. Why couldn't you have helped me them 7 years and then been ready to go out there? You're not fooling God. There's a lion in the street. The sluggard puts his hand in his coat, you know. Says, I can't, I can't, I can't. A Christian lifts his hand to heaven and said, I can, I can, I can. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. You know what? Like this morning, not here at Little Bethlehem, because I don't speak in respect of what Paul said, and I don't covet no man's silver or gold, lest you say you made Abraham rich. That's why I don't take personal offerings. Because what's done for me, God done it. And I want it to be a light to the world. But like it was with Zacchaeus, when Jesus came over to his house, Jesus looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Said he was a little man, short in stature, couldn't see over the people's head. And he was determined he was going to see Jesus. So he just went up maybe a sycamore tree, whatever it was. He got up there and he was looking. He was going to see it. Industrious fella, as Brother Richard says. And he looked over their heads. Jesus said, come down from there. I'm going over to your house today. Why? See, Jesus saw that eagerness. There a man was wealthy. He was a wealthy fella. But that prestige didn't bother him. He didn't care if the banker saw him climb up a sycamore tree. He's going to see what it was all about. He got up there, humbled himself, the pride out of him. Peeking over to see Jesus, Jesus said, come down here, Zacchaeus. So I'm going over to your place today. Oh, Zacchaeus, he was such a jubilant spirit. You know, he was having such a jubilee. He said, Lord, he said, half of everything I got, said, I'm going to invest it in evangelism. Half of everything I got, I'm going to put it in evangelism. Said, half of it I give to the poor. And said, God, if I've been a cheat and a liar, swindler, said, everything I've ever took for any man, from any man, said, I'll restore it four times. Don't you see that? He could not have made a statement like that if he had been a crook. He couldn't have restored it four times. He knew that he had been straight. And God perceived that he was straight and wanted to go over to his house and perceive that the riches he had gotten was God giving them to him. He said, if I took anything by false means, I'll give it back to him four times, Lord. I'm so excited about you coming over my house. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm so excited over Jesus coming over my house that you can have my shoes. You can have my bed. You can have anything you want to. I'm so help me God. I mean it from my heart. I see my wife so glad that Jesus come over to the house till she give her cook stove away. Her washing machine away. Everything she had away, give it away. And what I mean, standing, tears roll down her cheeks and standing and praise God because she could give it away. I said, well, Betty, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know the Lord will make a way. And I've heard her answer me something like this, said, who cares about that? The joy of seeing that heart like that, the joy of seeing that little fellow have something to eat, said, who cares about what's going to happen? Folks, it'd be a good day for you to do what Zacchaeus done. Amen. A good day. You wouldn't have to go out to the cafe to lunch. Jesus would go home with you. I'll tell you what, he'll give you the best in life. He'll give it to you. He'll give you the best. He did Job, make you to ride up in the high places of the earth. If you will share your talents with him, if you've got a talent, some of you can sing, some of you young ladies and men can sing and play instruments, but you'll never go anywhere unless you share it with Jesus. Some of you can pray, some of you can fast, some of you can come and nail, some of you got carpenter's ability. Right now, I need cabinets. I need tables. I need them bad for evangelism. I got men that's technicians that's highly skilled in that field that could make them for me when nobody else can't do it. They can do it. And I said, well, Brother Pike, why come nobody else can't make them? Because you ain't going to come and just throw something together and me give it to God. God said, I'm a great God. Don't bring me the halt, lame, and blind. I want you to have some skill if you make something for me. Do something because you know what you're doing in. I don't want to just take anybody and put a box together and set it there and say, God, here it is. I don't want that. I'm giving this to the brethren. I'm giving this to God. I'm giving it to the brotherhood and people abroad. I want it to be right. I want it to be something nice. And I got men that are skilled that could give me a little bit of their time and efforts. Take the load off of Brother Atlee and some of the other brethren and share and have a blessing. I've said this before and I say it again. Atlee Beach is efforts are spoken of throughout the world. All over the different parts of the world, his labor is there. And he hardly ever goes anywhere but little Bethlehem. But all over the different parts of the world, his labor, what he has done, has went into them areas and spoken his behalf. If he went into those areas, Jimmy, they'd know Atlee Beach. If he flew in there with his wife, got in there, they would know him because he's done so much in the areas. And so much for little Bethlehem. I have people to come here at little Bethlehem. A lot of times, you meet them out here somewhere. Meet them out here. They don't always say, I want to see Brother Pike. They said, you know a man by the name of Atlee Beach? Do you know a Jimmy Kirkett lives out here? I'm telling you the truth. You understand what I'm saying? People see a light in your life. They see a life. Today would be a good time to take Jesus home with you. I want you to come and stand around the altars for just a few minutes this morning. Just before we close. Now, I appreciate you being here. I know I call you to the altars often, but I do this for a reason. It's to break down your resistance. It's to revive you, to awaken you, and cause you to rally to the call. That when something is happening, that you can be a part of it. Because one day, he's going to call. And when I ask you to come to the altar, it's not me, it's God. It's God. And see, if you rally to his voice now, then later, when that final call comes, then you'll rally to it then. If you don't rally to that call now, when that final call comes, you won't rally to it then. You'll be sitting back and you'll never know that he called. You'll never know. Like a thief in the night. He'll come in and he'll slip the jewels away. You'll never know that he even called. You'll never know it. Because it'll be over and it'll be gone before you ever recognize it. But listen, brotherhood, sisters, listen. We can be one of the greatest teams in the world. We can be one of the greatest brotherhoods and sisterhoods in the world. We can bring to pass the vision that our brother Bill from Texas had right here. We can see little Bethlehem spread out in a community all over this area to where when somebody wants to needs prayer, all you got to do is let them know. We've got the little video system set up, an electric eye, a scanner that will be scanning all over the grounds, over at Bill's place, over at Daryl's, back down here, all around. Brother Floyd's office up there is so beautiful. They got it fixed up so nice. Lovely carpet on the floor where he'll be sending out the video from in the pyramid up here. You know, all of us feel like we fit in the pyramid, don't we? You know, I feel like, well, we're the capstone, whatever it is. how Floyd got in there. So I don't know how he ever got up there, because I didn't think he was the capstone. But he wound up in the pyramid. You don't ever know, do you? You just can't tell what God will do. You don't know what direction he's looking in. But anyway, up there there's a scanner. All around, it's looking. All around. There's a lot to be said about that, and maybe we'll say something about it later. But it's up there. Something that picks up to video it in to the tower and video it in over here to where the telephone calls will come in. About got that ready too. Sister Eileen's office will be ready right away now. They done got all the sheetrock up. She's got a little more to do out there. A few little odds and ends. But to that tower where there'll be calls coming from around the nation in different places, somebody to take those calls to alert or to alarm the people. From that tower, there'll be connections to the different trailers and the different places that if a call comes in for an emergency, there will be a prayer team. All they'll have to do is just alert the prayer team by way of the telephone or alarm, and people in the middle of the morning or the middle of the night will already have pledged their lives and efforts, swearing to their own hurt, to get up and pray for that emergency, that God will intervene. It might be my son. It might be your son. I say this because when we say pray for emergencies, it don't mean nothing to us. A dead man don't mean nothing to us. A torn up body don't mean nothing to us. Unless it's our torn up body, our little children, our loved ones. So I say it to bring it home to you. It might be your life. It might be your daughter. It might be your job that's at stake. You might be losing out and can't get in touch with God and not going to have any bread for your table or to pay your bills. It might be the loss of vehicles for you. But anyway, they will set out an alarm to the people and they will pray around the clock. Pray in your behalf and in my behalf, and pray for little Bethlehem and the things of little Bethlehem, that we might grow in a greater way and do a greater thing for Jesus, that more people might know about our efforts and fulfill the vision of Bill, to where little Bethlehem is spread all around and people everywhere can get in touch with us, you know, and have a good spirit like Bill saw, where we love one another. Be the greatest team in the world. With this video system, you can sit there in your own home today. Claude will be showing today. Today, you can sit there in your own home and watch the video. I know we don't have too much variety in films now. I realize that. We're just getting some trial runs to get the kinks out of things. But we're going to have some films that really, really fascinate you. I mean, you'll enjoy it better than you would any television show. It's going to be good. Things that will build you up. Things that will do you good. Things that you can watch at different times. It won't just be on Sunday. After a while, we'll have it a number of days out of the week. Have it full schedule. Floyd told me yesterday, said he was buying films just as quick as he could. He was going to invest some of his money into films and buy films to where we could have plenty of films and do something for God. Folks, let me tell you, don't forget this one thing. The world will get a hold of you. Riches will get a hold of you. Money will get a hold of you. Remember that. And it don't matter if you've got $1 million. As long as it hasn't got a hold of you, you don't have anything to worry about. Because God will give you another million. But the day you get to where you have to hold yours, it's got a hold of you, and you start reasoning, and you got $100,000, and you want to give $100 in the offering, and you felt like you done something, that's the day God will take it away from you. If you got $100,000, drop $1,000 in. It ain't going to hurt you. You still got 99,000 left. But when you get greedy and you can't do it, that's the day that you lose out. That's the day that you lose out. God will give you a million and another million as long as you're using it for him and as long as you ain't greedy. But the day it gets a hold of you and you just can't get enough, always holding on to that to get another dollar, it's got a hold of you and you're going to lose out with God. Come on, folks. That's the truth. So then the Lord loves you. God wants to help you. And if you'll work with us, he'll do something for you. He'll do something for you. How many of you appreciate the little video system we got out here? Do you really appreciate it? Do you? All right. Remember, we will not let a television set go down there. It has to be monitored. If you've got one at your house on the campground, you are in violation of the Lord and violation of the rules until you bring it here that we can monitor the thing and get it straightened out. Now, I confess this. I told you there's one at my house down here. But God knows I'm doing my best to keep it cut off and away from the children until Floyd can finish getting things set up as an experimental thing, because I want it monitored just like all the rest. If you take one down there, you're in violation of our rules, because we are not going to have the world on the campground. But you can have something good if you'll work with us. Bring them over here and we'll get somebody to go through them, and you'll have something good. Something good. You'll be proud of it. When I say proud, not worldly proud, but godly thankful. You'll be proud of it. It'll be a blessing to you. You ladies that are home, a lot of times they'll run a series of teachings. And the revelation that you couldn't get because the babies was crying and upset, and a lot of you didn't get it back there because you didn't have enough concern and didn't believe in it, you'll have a second chance to view it and go through it and sum it up and see the richness of it and to study it out. It'll be wonderful, but we'll have to do it God's way. But don't forget, you take your money and spend it, and Brother Pike's not asking for it. I've never bothered people for offerings, but it's my job to tell you. You take your money and spend it. You go give. You get your own missionary program. You get your own people you want to give to. You pick out who you think ought to have it. Don't come under the leadership of a shepherd. And at the end of the way, you're going to find out that you fed devils and demons and throwed it into a hole, because you didn't have a shepherd to lead you, and you didn't run it into a channel to where the shepherd and the brotherhood could get together and decide what was best for it. And you'll throw it into a hole. And at the end of the way, don't expect no reward from God, because you ain't going to have it. Because a man, when he gives it himself, he's going to give to his friends. He's going to give to his relatives. He's going to give to them that he thinks about and them that's close to his heart and them that he feels that ought to have it. But that ain't the way. It's supposed to be give according to what God said. I give to men that wouldn't spit on me. That's right. I have men to come up here and preach in this pulpit. I give them offerings, and they're men of God. That's straight off from God. And I know that they've said things against me and cut at me, but I give to them as though they never done it. You can't go by that, see. So then you got to come together as a brotherhood and share. Work together. If you can do anything, if you're skillful, I need you. I need your help. But don't be a busybody in other men's matters. Don't be a gossiper. Don't do wrong. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't try to convince somebody of something that you think. Don't come in here with a cunning idea that you got something that nobody else has gotten. This is a bunch of ignoramuses, and you're going to come up here and split them into splinters. And as Paul said, some rise up from among yourselves and lead men astray after you. Because this is not a bunch of ignoramuses. And when you run into some of them, you're going to find out they're a better swordsman than you are. You just run into them. They might not pull the sword on you, but you start dilly-dallying around with them, and they'll cut the life out of you and leave you laying there, and you'll be spiritually dead before you know it. So don't do that. They're men that love God. They're trained soldiers, women and men alike, that understand, and they want to do something, and they want to help you. But don't come to try to divide. Mark them that cause division among you. When you find a person that's causing division, that's got an old contrary spirit, an old sour disposition, that's always gossiping, finding fault, trying to tear somebody down in your ears, get away from them. Don't let your ears be a garbage can. Mark them people. Have no fellowship with them, because God's going to bring them to naught. He's going to pour out his wrath on them. It's just a matter of time, and God's going to tear them limb from limb. So let's love one another. Seek to edify. Hallelujah. Don't seek destruction on little Bethlehem. God ain't going to bring destruction. Don't seek destruction. God said, you can't curse that I bless. God's blessed little Bethlehem. Don't you go around trying to curse it. God will kill you. Balaam tried to do that. Tried to curse it. God's people, and God killed him. And he was a man that could see visions. He was a prophet, but God killed him. You can't curse that God's blessed. Folks, we're trying to win souls. You bless it. If you can't bless it, leave it alone. Don't mess with it. I've done had some to come in here and try to curse it, and already they're in their graves. Young men too, dead, gone, buried. Like somebody told me yesterday, there's a black man that comes in and out among us here. And some brother come to me yesterday and said, I had a vision about him. and said, this fella saw that little Bethlehem was prospering, that this message was going over, and said, this black fella in this vision was doing everything he could to stop it. Everything. Told me who he was. It's just exactly like I'd understood in the spirit. But don't do that, folks. Don't do that. Don't get overconfident that you got it, because you haven't got it unless you got him. You haven't got it. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how long you've been on the campground. Your daddy and mother are preachers. That don't mean nothing. You haven't got it unless you got him. All right? And he is charity. He is love. Let's sing this little chorus together before we dismiss this morning. Think it over. Think it over. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The Lord just let me know something then. There's a person here, it just struck then, that's in a valley of decision. The Lord's put something in your heart. And it was a hard crossing when I first started preaching this morning. It was a hard crossing. And you couldn't make it. But now, you're beginning to think. And you're getting over the hump. And you begin to think different. You know why? Now listen real close. We do one of two things. We place the greater importance upon the less value. You understand what I'm saying? We don't evaluate properly, and we place greater value on the things that are less valuable. And that's where we get in trouble. And then when we come to the things that really are valuable, eternal riches, then our eyes begin to come open and we begin to say, oh God, I have played the fool. If you don't believe you played the fool, just wait until they lay you down in the casket. And then you say, well, I won't know nothing in. Oh, yes, you'll know something. The dead know not anything. That's true as far as the body. But you'll know something, because the Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. You'll know. When you see the bloody hands of little ones and souls reaching up, you'll know. You'll know. All right. Let's sing this little chorus together. I wonder if we can sing the song, Just Another Touch, Lord, from You. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from You to help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from You. Sing it with me. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. Did you feel the Lord touch you this morning? I want you to slip your hands up now. And I want you to think over what I said. Folks, living for God is doing something. Living for God is doing something. Living for God is doing something. When the prophet came by, the woman built him a little house on the wall because she knew he had to have a place to live. He was a spiritual man, but he had to have a place to rest, to lay down his head. Jesus had to resort to a cave, and so did Elijah and others. But she said, Lord, the prophet is living in a cave. He's wandering around. The man of God is just making out the best he can. But he's not sleeping in a cave because he wants to sleep in a cave. Nobody cares for him. I'll build him a little house. And I'll just see if he'll turn into that little house when he comes by my way. And the Bible said he turned into the little house. They opened the door, and Jesus turned into the little house. Said, I stand at the heart's door and knock. If any man will open that heart and share with me, I will be part of his household. I will come in and sup with him. But I stand there and knock. Will you let me into your heart? Will you let me into your heart? Folks, he wants to come in. Sing it one more time. Oh, just